I know what we're talking about, which is the spiritual disciplines. So we're whenever we want to. So you're editing this one, and so I don't have to be real formal right now. I'm trying to figure out what we're going to say.
This is the Staff Podcast at First. Join us each week as we discuss the topics that are on our minds: marriage, social media, parenting, or topics that you ask about. Pull up a chair. This is the Staff Podcast at First.
Today we're wanting to talk about spiritual disciplines. And so we have gathered the best crew we can think of. Our children's minister, our worship pastor, and John. And just it's our youth pastor. And we want to talk about spiritual disciplines and from the standpoint of each individual ministry, but not just the individual ministry, but from the individual person, because a worship pastor and a youth pastor and a children's ministry are all going to come about their spiritual disciplines in a different way, as most of our church population will. I mean, you'll just come at, because people are, they lean toward one different thing where they really shine a little bit in their spiritual disciplines. Some people are really great at prayer, others at fasting, others at worship corporately, and others at serving. And so I want to talk about today what spiritual discipline looks like in the life of each one of us, where we shine, and kind of highlight some of the different spiritual disciplines that are out there. And here's the end focus of the whole deal, is that we want to use this podcast as a way to encourage people to begin to try some of the other spiritual disciplines that maybe they're not focusing on in their life right now. And how to enhance some of those new believers who don't really understand what a spiritual discipline is, and how they can even begin that process. And so with that in mind, there's what we kind of classify as three different sets of spiritual disciplines. There's the inward disciplines, and we think about the prayer and fasting and study where that's concerned. We think about outward disciplines, and those are like solitude, when you're just kind of alone and you're alone with God, submission to God and His authority, and then serving. And then there's the corporate disciplines that include confession, worship, guidance, and celebration. And so I want to start off with just here the idea that the most important spiritual discipline that we can have is the discipline of prayer. And so let's start over here with Blake and just say, hey, Blake, what does your prayer life look like? How do you get started every morning? Do you wait until before you go to sleep at night? I mean, what's it look like for you?
I really try and do it throughout the day. And some days are stronger than others. Some days it's a real struggle. I found that I have to find time to carve out throughout the day. Got two small kids, and so they get up early for school, and so it's a struggle for me to get up earlier than them. And so trying to find time throughout the day, or after I put them to bed at night, just to carve out that time, spend time in prayer.
Has that always been a strong part of your spiritual discipline? I mean, did it get stronger as you were 2 or 3 years into your walk with Christ, or is that something that you've developed later on, or from the very beginning has it been good?
No, it hasn't always been good, and it really hasn't been good until just the last couple of years that it's really grown, and I've really embraced that spiritual discipline. And it used to be one of those things where I would just, my prayer time would consist of when I need something. I would pray, but when I pray, it's just always, well, I need this, or I'm struggling, so I need, would you help me with this? And I've really had to shift my mindset and turn that into, I need those prayers. I need to ask God for things, but then it's, I need to practice prayers of thanksgiving and prayers of praise. And so a lot of my prayers throughout the day, I've had to consciously make myself do that. Something I haven't asked for, but something I've seen God do, not even in my life, but in someone else's life, or something going on. Just, God, thank you for doing this. Thank you for who you are. Right. And it can just be short prayers like that. But just acknowledgments of thankfulness and praise, as well as the prayers asking for blessing and things like that.
Well, Lauren, I know in a children's is in the mind of a children's minister, I think if I had to do your job, I would be praying all the time. But from your standpoint, personally, same questions that I kind of asked Blake a little bit ago. Has that always been a strong suit of yours? Is it something that's a strong suit in your life right now? Is it something you're working on?
How's yeah. that look? I think for me, meditation in prayer has been really important lately for me because of the chaos in children's ministry and in life, really. Like, I've always been a busy type person, and so I really have felt like the Lord has been telling me to, like, slow down and, you know, when you pray, listen to me, because I talk a lot. And so it's like I'm always asking, like Blake said, you know, it may be something that I'm asking for or to do in the ministry or to do in my life, but you know, a big spiritual discipline is meditation. And I think a lot of people have like this weird, like, oh, meditation, but it's not, you know, meditation is biblical. And that's just when we listen to God and when we can respond to Him. And so I've really tried to do that lately with just listening instead of talking. Right. And so that's
now, look, I've had you know, the honor of knowing you since you were in sixth grade. As a sixth grader, how's your prayer life or some of the spiritual disciplines in your life changed from when I knew you as a sixth grader to where I know you now as one of our leaders?
I think it's easy to, I mean, even now, but especially then, to just, you're saved, you're good, like, and just kind of go about your life, do good things. That's kind of what I strive to do, is I just wanted to be a good person, just wow. kind of do the right thing, but never really, like, you know, I never really held myself accountable to, you need to pray, and you need to be in the Word, and you need to do all these things, because it just, I was a Christian, and I was fine, you know, I did the right thing, I went to church, I did my thing, and so now, you know, holding myself accountable with other people, being in the Word, meditating on what God has for me. And so that's what's changed in my life.
What do you think for you was the strongest in your spiritual growth? Your youth minister growing up?
Or? Definitely not that.
No.
It was when she met me here in Wallsville. Oh. It totally changed everything.
Yes. Well, let's talk about totally changing everything and go to a youth minister and talk about prayer. what does your prayer life look like, and how has it transformed over the years?
You know, over the years, prayer has just really been a struggle, because I have a tendency to get sidetracked in my mind. I'll start thinking about other stuff. So what I have found to help keep me focused, I started prayer journaling, where I'll actually write prayers or notes while I'm praying, and it keeps me focused on what I'm doing, because what I started to realize is that I could sit down for 10 minutes and only about a minute and a half of that would be prayer, and the other would be just thinking about everything else that I had going on. And you know, just recently, since I became a youth pastor, prayer has become a big part, because you know, you don't want to, as a man, I have a tendency to try to operate in my own power and what I can do to affect change and all of that, but we want to make sure that we're calling on the God to change and be the change agent, you know, in what we're trying to do.
Somebody talked to me about if you were talking with somebody who has just come to know Christ, mm-hmm. they don't know anything of prayer, they don't know anything of spiritual disciplines, how would you tell them to begin?
I think what I try to tell people is, everybody thinks, we hear these Christians who have been Christians for 40, 50 years, and we hear them pray, and we're like, I don't sound like that when I pray. And it tends to make us not pray because we don't sound like them. But what I try to tell people is, your prayer is your conversation with God, and it can sound like anything. It's actually better when it sounds just like a conversation. And it doesn't, we don't need all these Christian words. We don't need all these church words. It can just be a conversation between you and your Father. And it doesn't have to be elaborate or long even. You know, sometimes just sitting there in silence is okay, like Lauren was saying with the meditation.
What would you say to one of your kiddos that's learning how to pray?
Yeah, I always just tell them kind of the same thing, is if I have a relationship with John and we never speak, we don't have a relationship, right? We're just acquaintances, we're not friends, right? So I tell them, you know, talk to God like you're talking to a friend, and you just have to start. I think a lot of people wait, and they don't know how to pray, or they don't know how to do a quiet time, and they don't know how to do all these things, so they just like kind of sit idle. But just start a prayer, just start praying, start a quiet time, and it'll get better. Just like anything you do, it gets more normal, more easy. So
let's talk a little bit about fasting, which I know is, for me, is not something I do a lot.
I'm really great at fasting. I mean, you can look at me and tell I
absolutely.
Do it often.
Absolutely.
It's just a big part of my life.
But that is one of the spiritual disciplines that we're called on in Scripture to participate in. It says when you fast. It doesn't say if you fast or if you care to take, you know, a day and not do anything. It says when you fast. So that is one of the things we're called on to do. And we're called on to do it in such a way as we're not going and bragging about it to everybody and doing different things. Is that a discipline that any of you have participated in recently?
Yeah, I'm involved in Faith Walk. And a lot of times when we're leading up to Faith Walk, on the days of our meetings, we'll fast, you know, before our meetings. And what fasting does, it's not about, I, like you said, going and bragging about what you're doing. Hopefully you're not talking about it at all, honestly. Mm-hmm. But what fasting does, in our culture, we tend to have a me-focused culture. Like everything's about me, my comfort, my desire, what I'm doing. And what fasting does is it kind of takes the focus off of you and gets it down to the nitty-gritty of like you and Jesus and being able to hear from him in a powerful way. So I've seen that. I don't fast for long because, you know, we got to get some rice and gravy.
Clearly.
but when I have fasted, it's been really powerful to sort of strip away the things that can become a distraction and really hear from the Lord.
To me, fasting is a next level type of discipline.
For sure.
I wouldn't tell somebody who was just starting off, certainly none of your kiddos, hey, look, I need you to go without food for the next 12 days.
They need their corn dogs.
Yeah, they need something. That's kind of a next level deal. But prayer is one of those first level, I think, disciplines. One of the other disciplines that is first level, I think, is just the study of God's Word. One of those inward disciplines. And I think that's important because we have to know the character of the person who we've given our life to. We have to know who he is. And so in your life, what does that look like, either in your quiet time, in your daily time? I mean, what is the study of God's Word, who he is, who his character is? What does that look like in your ministry and in your life? We'll cut out this long pause. We'll start with you, Blake.
What it looks like for me is, I like what John was talking about in prayer, I get easily distracted when I read. And so I've got to sit down and I've got to kind of completely isolate myself and just have maybe a little background noise, a little background music going on. But I've got to really isolate myself to focus on what the Word says. And really, it begins with prayer for me. Those two kind of go hand in hand. I can't just jump in and start reading. And I mean, it makes sense, mm-hmm. but I oftentimes don't get what I need to get out of it if I'm not asking God for it first. Mm-hmm. And so before I read, I've got to ask God to guide me through these pages, show me something that you want me to know, that you want me to learn. Because sometimes when I read, I grew up in church, and so I know a lot of the stories, and I've got these preconceived, you know, ideas about, and so sometimes I try and read forgetting those ideas.
Right.
You know, what does this page actually say? What is God actually saying? Not what I heard somebody say when I was 8. Mm-hmm. And so it begins with that prayer. God, show me what this means. Show me what you have to say to me.
I get to the point where I have to remember to ask myself questions about what I'm reading as I go through it. Like, who's he talking to? What are they talking about? Mm-hmm. Does this really have anything to do with me, or is this just a history lesson in this particular deal? And there's always something you can glean from it, but sometimes you have to really work to
yeah.
see it. I mean, you got the obvious ones, like, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world.
Yeah.
Well, obviously he loves me because of that. But then you got other ones that are harder to see. Like I was studying this morning in Exodus and looking at Moses talking to Jethro about all the work that he had to do. And Jethro finally looked at him and said, look, you got too much on your plate. Here's what you need to do. And then there's a little line in, I can't remember what verse it was, 20, it doesn't matter. But basically it says that Moses listened to his father-in-law. And you see little things like that, and you go, there's some wisdom that we've married into, and there's some wisdom that we have that's around us from other people, and that's part of understanding who God is understanding who He's put around us. So it's more than just the blatant Ten Commandments. It's the little things.
There are times I wish I would have listened to my father-in-law.
Yeah.
Just like he did. For me, study has grown a lot over the years too, because I can remember when I was younger and growing in Christ, study was about theological ascent. It was more what can I know about God? And I was convicted here over the last few years about, am I just studying to know about God, or do I want to know God? Mm-hmm. Do I want to know His character? Do I want to know who He is really, at the core of who He is? And I had to change the way I studied. And what study had become for me earlier in my walk was more of an idol, that I was trying to just become smarter so I could have conversations with people and maybe even prove some people wrong and different things like that. And it was a trap that I definitely fell into, and I've tried to kind of correct that and gone more towards, God, what can You teach me about Yourself through this study?
What about you, Lauren?
For me, I've really tried recently to really understand what I am reading, because I think just in the busyness of life and ministry, you can get caught up in what you're teaching. So you just study what you're teaching, and mm-hmm. that's it. And then like you teach it, and then it's gone. Right. And then same thing, you know, if you're in school or whatever, you just study for the test, then it's done. But I really have tried recently to, you know, read the verse before, read the verse after, maybe read the whole chapter, like to see what God is telling me about that whole story, and not just a verse or right. a topic. Yeah. And so that's really helped to understand like what He has to teach me about certain things. And
where do you tell kids to start?
And like studying the Bible, I mean,
they've not done anything ever before, and they come to you, or a parent comes to you and says, how do I get my kids started?
Yeah.
Where would you tell them to start?
We are really working on that in preteen right now, and basically what I tell them is, if you've never done it before, take one verse, and I want you to read that verse every single day for a week if you need to understand it. Mm-hmm. And then maybe the next day, if you get it the first day, read the next one. And so that way they're in the Word, but I would never say start with a whole chapter. Like, they're gonna be like, you know? Right. So usually I say like one or two verses, just start reading and see what the Lord speaks to you through those verses.
John, where would you tell a youth to start?
I always tell youth to start with the book of John, and it's not because it's my name or anything, but it's because John had a very distinct purpose in writing his gospel, was to show the lordship of Christ.
Right.
And I think for students, that's a really important concept for them to grasp, is that Christ is Lord. Mm-hmm. He's Savior, but He's also Lord. So I always tell them to start with John, and then, you know, mix in some Proverbs as you're kind of going through that. Proverbs is a cool book to read because you can read one for every day of the month. It's a quick read, and it's good to do that. But I always tell them to start with John because it gives them a good picture of who Jesus was and what He should be in their life.
I kind of start from the same author but a different book. I always tell them to start with 1 John.
Yeah.
Because it's a little bit shorter of a book. You can read through the whole thing in one sitting.
That's true.
And I just told them, I said, just read through it every day for a week.
Yeah.
And then the next week, go read through it again and just start making notes.
Yeah.
Underlining stuff. And I think that people have this idea that we as ministers have this thing figured out. Mm-hmm. And we don't. I mean, sometimes we're trying to figure out different ways to keep ourselves kind of going and to learn more and learn different ways and that kind of deal. So for all of us, obviously, it's kind of a different, you know, one verse, the book of John, 1 John, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
The important thing is, just like prayer, just start somewhere.
Right.
And ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Right. So that's kind of some of the inward disciplines. Let's look at some of the outward disciplines. And I really wanted to focus on this area in two areas, in submission and in serving. I think submission's become a word in our current society that people don't like. For whatever reason, but when we give our lives to Christ, we are submitting to His authority, to His lordship.
Right.
And that's a spiritual discipline. And so Blake, in your life, what does that look like? How old were you when you gave your life over to him, when you kind of submitted to him? And how has that looked for you going into ministry and carrying on?
Yeah. I got saved when I was 9, but I wouldn't say I really submitted until my early 20s. It's not that I was living a bad life or anything. I just kind of wasn't all in. I wasn't submitted. Mm-hmm. And since then, now that I would say I'm all in, fully submitted, but it's a daily thing for me. Yeah. I have to daily submit. And there are days where I struggle to submit. And when those days happen, it's like there's a piece of me, I'm still holding on to this mindset of, I can do this my way.
Right.
I can handle this part. But I have to daily submit. And then when I do, those days that I do, my life is infinitely better.
Sure.
So I don't know why it's such a struggle to do that every day, but it does. It becomes a battle, but that I have to overcome every day.
Sure. Mm-hmm. What about you, John?
I think submission is really important because I think our culture tells us that everything should be about us, and our identity is in who we are and what we can do, our accomplishments, what we can have success in, and all that kind of stuff. So I think when Christianity comes into the picture for someone and they hear a word like submission, it really goes against everything that they've learned out in the culture. But it is absolutely the most important thing that someone can learn to do, to be fully submitted to Christ. It took a while for me too. I got saved at 8 and wasn't fully submitted. And there are days where I'm still not fully submitted, to be honest. But I do think that as we submit and we put Christ in his rightful place, the New Testament is clear. We are to die to self. We're to give up our rights. We're to share in his sufferings and all of those things that this life is about more than us. And I think submission is part of that, recognizing that this life is bigger than just what I am, my comfort, what I have going on.
Right. I think from a submission standpoint, we kind of covered that one a little bit. I want to ask you specifically about the service part of it. Again, I've known you for a long, long time. I've seen you serve in so many different capacities as a student leader in the youth ministry that I had the opportunity to lead, as a young adult who came back and worked with the youth, who worked in the children's ministry at the church you grew up in. You participated in a thing called Stephen Ministry, where you served in that capacity and you helped counsel people who were going through tough times. So that's obviously been an important part of your walk with Christ. Talk to me a little bit about why that's been so important.
Yeah. I just feel like it's so easy when you're serving to get caught up in, like, it's about me serving. And I probably did struggle with that at younger years because it's so easy to get wrapped up in, look what I am doing. But it's just a different kind of serving when you realize that the Lord has called us to serve and that Jesus himself served. Like, he came and he washed the disciples' feet. Like, so as servants, we think of like a person serving me, you know, they're a lower, you know, person. But to me, that means that you are dying to self and you are serving the Lord because he serves us every day. Mm-hmm. And so to me, when you serve, you're being Jesus to people who may not ever see Jesus, you know?
Right. What are some of the ways that you serve, not only daily, but throughout the course of the year? I know you've been to Cambodia, you've been to Puerto Rico, you've mm-hmm. been, where else have you been to serve? New Orleans?
Argentina.
You've gone on a lot of different mission trips, but a mission trip isn't the only way you serve.
Yeah.
What are some other ways that you serve?
When I lived in Texas, I went to a boys and girls home every week, one Boys and Girls Harbor, mm-hmm. once a week. And a lot of times I would hang out with the girls so the house mom could just relax. Other times I would hang out with her because she never had interaction. The Boys and Girls Harbor is a, how would you describe it? It's a
home for kids who have been put out.
Right.
Essentially.
And they could go back to their house at any time, but sometimes they don't ever. So the Boys and Girls Home gives them a place to live, and they have a house mom, and it's like sometimes they have like 12 girls in there, 8 girls, it just depends. So I would go there, I would help them with their homework, sometimes do Bible studies, but I went there every week for like 3 years. And the thing with serving is I don't think people have to know about it.
Right.
And I think if you always talk about what you do, then the reason behind why you're serving kind of goes away.
Yeah.
And so I don't, like, a lot of people have known that, because it doesn't matter. You know, it does matter in a godly perspective, but it doesn't matter that people know that I did that, you know. So I think finding a place that you feel like the Lord's calling you to serve and doing it.
There you go. All right, let's take a break right here because Jared's told us to.